So the theme for this month for the Wednesday night devotionals is consistently changing into Christ. Consistently changing into Christ. And we get that from Romans 8, verses 28 and 29, mainly 29, but we have to go to 28 like Tobias did last week because it lets us know that it's us, the church. Romans 8, 29 lets us know that He, God, also predestined us, the church, to be conformed to the image of His Son. It is God's will, His wish, His purpose, His desire for us to look like His Son. And obviously not physically look like His Son. That would be absurd. We have women that can't look like a man. And there's no reason to physically look like His Son, but spiritually. John 4:24, God is spirit. We must look like His Son in spirit. There's spiritual characteristics. One of those is love. So we need to conform to the image of His Son as a man of love, as a person of love. Mark 10:21. While you're turning, I'll explain the context. Jesus is talking to the rich man. And the rich man pleads his case a little bit with Christ and says, I've kept the law, I've done all these good things, but pay attention to verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. So it's a two-part command. We see, well, go sell your things and give them to the poor. And secondly, take up your cross and follow me. But Jesus loved him. Why is that important? Well, let's take a quick second to think about what type of love this is. There's several different types of love, definitely in the Greek language. But here we see the Greek word agapeo. It's very similar to another Greek word, phileo. They carry a very similar meanings. Think of the fondness you have to a friend or to an object or to a thing that you like, that you would say that you love. But agapeo is a bit broader, a bit wider in the idea. This type of love has a moral duty as a human. So the best, I think the best way to describe to me, think of this. Think of you standing on the side of the street and someone's in the middle. They're looking this way and a bus is over there, full speed, brakes are locked. They can't press on the brake. It's coming at them and they don't see it. We as humans have a moral obligation to not do anything. No. We have a moral obligation to do something. Push them out of the way, or take them and tug them out of the street, or at least yell and tell them, hey, watch out, I don't want you to die. Christ is doing this to the rich man. This is exactly what he's doing. The love that Christ had caused something. It caused Christ to do something for a purpose. He gave a command for the purpose of a heavenly reward. We see in Matthew 6, verses 18 through 21, around that area, laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus is on the sermon, giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's contrasting where we lay up our treasures. Treasures on earth get eaten by moths, they get destroyed by rust, thieves come in, break in, and steal. But heavenly treasures are incorruptible. They're not touched by things of this world. And verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, again, Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in essence, Jesus is asking the rich man, where is your heart? Where does it lie? Later on in the book of Matthew, we see in chapter 16, verse 24 through 26, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And this relates to the second part of the command that Jesus gave of taking up your cross. But here we see Jesus talking to his disciples and he says, You have to deny yourself, you have to take up your cross, and you have to follow me. Verse 26, we see, for what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Again, Jesus is doing this. Jesus' simple command from that stemmed from loving the rich man gives us the same principle. He's asking the rich man, what do you value? What do you value more? Will you give up these worldly riches, these physical carnal riches, for heavenly riches, for heavenly treasure? But what caused Jesus to even bring up this principle of valuing the spiritual rather than the carnal? Love. If it wasn't clear, that's what caused it. Love causes spiritual conversations, and more so, it should cause spiritual thinking. Godly agape love causes spiritual conversations and spiritual thinking. But how do we conform to this type of love? Right now, there's a gap that needs to be bridged. There's Christ showing perfect love, and there's us wanting to conform to that, wanting to conform to the image of God's Son. But God has given us two ways. God has given us given us His love in two ways. And before we get to that, just think about that love and God's word are hand in hand. And truthfully, if we want to get down to it, they are the same thing. Love is God's word, and God's word is love. God is love, 1 John 4, 7 and following. We learn that God is love, and so everything God says, everything God does has to be love because He Himself is love. But back to those two ways that we've been given love. Again, connecting the Word of God and love. He's given us His love as the Word, which became flesh to die on the cross for us. John 1, 12 through 14. Verse 14 telling us that the Word became flesh. And John 3, 14 through 17. We all know verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave the Word. And secondly, the spoken Word, which became the written Word. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. We see that times past, He spoke. And now He has His Son. And 2 Peter 1, 2 through, 1, 2 through 3, we see the end of that. He gave us His Son, and now, through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Christ, we have all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So the key to bridging that gap is the Word. The key to conforming to Christ as a man of love, as a woman of love, is the Word of God. Christ exemplified perfect love. Some neat people wrote about it, right? And now we can read about it. Now we can look back on those words that were written about Christ, and we can bridge the gap between Christ's perfect example and us wanting to fulfill God's will. Lastly, just a simple point, letting others know of the value of having treasure in heaven and following Christ. So we conform to the image of Christ in His love through the Word, but remember what He did for the rich man. He asked him a pointed question that divided spiritual and carnal thinking. We have to do the same. We have to tell the person in the middle of the road to get out of the way of the bus. It's our moral duty to love. It's a command of God to love. Sometimes we mess up with that. Sometimes we don't do that perfectly. Sometimes we mess up with other things and we fall short. Maybe love is something that you struggle with. Maybe you don't follow the example that Christ has given us to love others. Maybe you struggle with evangelism. Maybe there's been times where you let that person stand in the middle of the road. Please come as we stand and as we sing.